from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's 5 o'clock, or a wee bit more.
We're kind of like a broadcasting accident looking for somewhere to happen.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Prime time with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Occasionally, we might even talk about something that matters.
The Fan.
I'll get to it eventually, I'm sure. Look, it's a slow day in sports. Is that David Faraday saying that?
A Scotsman.
Look, it's we know what kind of day it is. We're in that weird period, but we got NFL camps opening up. Tyson Alger will join us in the I-5 corridor in about 15 minutes. We'll talk a little college football. That's a month away. I think August 24th, I think we get like 7 games. So we got some sports coming. The Olympics right around the corner. Rop out today. We were both playing in the same golf tournament yesterday, but I think Rop needed a day off from his day off. So
as one does.
No truth to the rumor. We were not out in some sort of like romantic weekend together.
That'd be cute, though.
We did not buy a waterbed. In fact, I didn't even see him at the golf tournament. He may or may not have been there. I had about 15 people yesterday come up to me. Hey, Rop here? And I'm like, yeah, where? Oh, didn't see him. Didn't see him before the round. Didn't see him during the round. Didn't see him after the round. So therefore, I asked the question. You know, when Rop was in Vegas, you know, I started the conspiracy theory that his wife was trying to kill him. Because every time he goes down to Vegas, he gets death yells. She's fine. So Rop was at this golf tournament allegedly yesterday. And then today, we don't know where he's at. And yet, I didn't see him at the golf tournament at all.
Would lead to questions, wouldn't it?
Look, is the Rona back? Is that?
Is it ever? Our commander-in-chief has it. Now reports he's going to step down on Sunday.
That's the report going around?
That he's going to pull out of the race on Sunday. That's what's being bandied about.
Well, he got it in Vegas.
Yes, he did.
Biden
just
went
like
to
Rop.
Vegas.
What if Rop and the president share the same strain?
What if Rop's the one that gave? Because look, I believe that Rop brought his Rona probably to Vegas.
What if
Rop is responsible for giving Biden the Rona? He drops out, and then the new guy wins. Does Isaac Rop get credit for leading the new Democratic nominee
that
to the president?
He passed the Isachi 19 strain to the commander-in-chief. It's possible.
A lot of rumors going on about Rop.
Some would say.
And I'm doing the Joe Rogan. Hey, I don't know. I'm just here to ask questions. Not saying it's right.
Not saying one way or the
not
other. I'm just asking.
Just asking. I'm not a flat earther. I'm not a round earther. I'm just saying. Rob, suppose he was at the Maurice Lucas golf tournament yesterday. I was there. I didn't see him. And now today, nowhere to be found. Isachi 19. Like if the police pulled me, if the police questioned me and said, hey, did you see Isaac Rop at that golf tournament? I'd have to say, no, sir, I did not. Was he planning on being there? That was my assumption.
Isachi.
No proof. You would think.
And, you know, we can't verify. He's not on the gram. He doesn't tweet.
No.
So, like a snow leopard in the wild.
He is. He is our snow leopard. A lot of rumors. All right, let's get to the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
Oh, hurt. Oh, dear.
I loved COVID.
I'm just saying.
Number five.
No baseball today. Still on the All-Star break. Full slate tomorrow. We get everyone basically coming back to action. And no bigger series than our Seattle Mariners. One game up now. Have officially, I guess not officially, come close to officially blowing a 10-plus game lead over the Houston Astros. It is down to one. And Houston will come to the Pink. They'll come to T-Mobile tomorrow for a three-game set. And if the Mariners lose that one, they will be tied with the Houston Astros, and that'll be Hunter Brown versus Castillo. So monster matchup coming up for the Mariners as they try to salvage some sort of momentum here.
Well,
maybe
they needed the break to get the bats warmed up, you know?
Well, don't worry. Jerry DePoto said that he understands that their offense is terrible, but he doesn't know if he's going to be able to fix it.
We'll see.
A lot of other teams are also going to be looking to fix their crappy offense.
Just in, other teams want to score runs too?
Yes.
Number four.
Well, the WNBA is experiencing a nice little healthy bump in all things, mainly due to Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. Women's basketball is at an all-time high right now. And the NBA signed their new TV deal, $75 billion over 11 years. And I don't know if people know this, but the WNBA is roped into that media deal. The NBA is the one that negotiates that. And it came out today that the WNBA over the next 11 years has been valued at $2.2 billion. So their revenue under the old TV deal was a $60 million distribution. The new one will be $200 million. So that's a nice little bump for them. I know their commissioner came out and said they were still being undervalued, and some people were kind of rattling some chains over that. But however you want to view that, from 60 to 200 million a year in distribution, that should lead to a nice pay bump in players. You already have the travel. So the WNBA is certainly on a come up there with a massive increase in their TV rights deal.
Number three.
Turns out that if you win five plus national championships at a school, they do good things for you. So Nick Saban had his house bought by Alabama boosters. Mm-hmm. He has a statue of himself out in front of Bryant-Denny Stadium. Now, normally when you're the greatest coach of all time, they will name the stadium after you. The problem is they've already named that stadium after one of the greatest coaches of all time, Bryant-Denny Stadium. So the source is that this year that it will now be known as Nick Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium, which is what they're doing now. Like, they're doing the... They're naming the NBA court or the college court, and they'll name it after one guy that they can still name the building after.
I know Arizona did that with Lute Olson Court. Even Oregon, way back in the day, it's Rich Brooks Field at Autzen Stadium.
At Autzen Stadium. So the next time someone plays at Bryant-Denny Stadium, they will be playing on Nick Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Until Nick Saban raises enough of a ruckus and then it gets flipped and it's Nick Saban Stadium at Bryant-Denny Field.
Yeah, that seems pretty well deserved.
Number two.
Saban-Denny Stadium?
Maybe. I can see that.
Saban Bryant Stadium.
Yes.
What is Denny? Who is Denny?
That I don't know.
Maybe we should get rid of Denny. I wouldn't make the Denny family very happy, but it should be Saban Bryant or Bryant Saban Stadium.
Yeah, I played at Bryant Denny Stadium, though. Great stadium.
Yeah, you've told tales of that game. That sounded like a time.
Got our ass kicked.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't know if you remember this, but they had an employee that was in charge of their finances. Yeah, he stole $20 million from them. We talked about this story, and it blows my mind that...
Was this the dude who gambled most of it?
Yeah, he
like DraftKings'd all of it?
FanDuel.
He was terrible at it?
FanDuel. So he's in prison now. He's serving a 6.5-year sentence, and the Jaguars have filed a $66.6 million civil suit against him. So I guess when you file a civil suit, then you can just start seizing property, which is kind of adorable because, like, how much money can this guy have? He blew it all on FanDuel.
Well, and yeah, I don't get how also you would be entitled to three times what he stole from you.
Well, I guess in these matters, you can sue for three times the amount of damages.
Then there you go.
He doesn't have $22 million, doesn't have 66.
Right. I mean, that's good luck, I guess. Sure, to ruin his life, I guess.
They're also asking FanDuel to give them their money back.
Uh-huh, sure. Number one. Good luck.
Number one.
FanDuel did not comment on
although
that.
This is, didn't we talk about this the other day, the Finders Keepers versus Stolen? Like, if FanDuel knows the money was stolen, do they have to give it back?
The question becomes, too, is does the NFL have enough balls and clout to tell FanDuel to mind their P's and Q's and give me my money back? I mean, it was $22 million that was stolen from, I mean, flat out stolen. The guy's in prison. Or does FanDuel just be like, yeah, we're not doing that?
Sports and gambling making strange bedfellows.
And then out at Royal Troon today, the British Open got underway. And a bit of a rough day, definitely better scores in the afternoon. And someone who I've never heard of, Daniel Brown, who's an Englishman, went out and shot a buttery 65 today. Shane Lowry, and that's at 6 under. Shane Lowry, one shot behind at 5 under. Justin Thomas at 3. Host of guys at 2 under, Russell Henley and Xander Schauffele in that group. Adam Scott, I'm looking at some of the notables. Adam Scott, 1 under. Brooks Koepka, 1 under.
Scheffler's there too, at 1 under.
Scotty Scheffler at 1 under. Also a very rough day. Tony Finau, even on the day. So is Spieth. Now, a rough day for some guys, as Rory, who was outside of Scheffler, had the best odds.
Second odds favorite to win the tournament.
Yeah, scrolling.
Tied 427th.
129th, plus 7. On the plus side, he is tied with local product, Wyndham Clark, Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And Bryson DeChambeau was also at 7 over, and then he had an eagle on 16 to get him to 5 over. So his chances of going back-to-back majors, slim and none. Weather was pretty brutal out there in the morning. The winds were whipping, but it got better in the afternoon, and the conditions improved, and you saw the scoring.
And I don't know if it'll be the same tomorrow, but for those who don't follow regularly or maybe just the majors, they flip tee times.
Yes.
So the guys who played in the afternoon today will have to play in the morning tomorrow.
Do you have the Tiger clip real quick?
I do.
Yeah, so Tiger had obviously a very, very rough day. And look, he's going to miss the cut on the third straight major. And I guess Colin Montgomery came out and said that Tiger was embarrassing himself and it was bad for golf and that he should just hang it up. And this is one of the local Scott reporters asking Tiger Woods about those comments.
You've given so much to this game. You've given so much to this championship.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there was comments, you know, last week from Colin Montgomery who said, why is he here? He should retire. There's no point to this. Do you feel that's a bit hurtful and you've earned the right to you make the decision when you decide?
Well, as a past champion, I'm exempt until I'm 60. Colin's not. He's not a past champion, so he's not exempt. So he doesn't get the opportunity to make that decision. I do.
Well, that's what I mean. You've earned that. You've deserved that. You've...
So when I get to be at his age, I can still make that decision when he doesn't.
Dude, beautiful. That's well freaking handled. Love it.
Montgomery's kind of a bitch.
Absolutely
he always does that stuff.
Love it. Old Monty, yes, he is an old curmudgeon. And I love that Tiger just dropped as a former champion, I'm fine till I'm 60.
I get to make that decision.
Bite me, Colin.
He doesn't.
No, it's a little rough. But yes, to answer that reporter's question, you feel like you've earned the right? Yeah, I think Tiger's earned the right to decide when he's done.
You serious?
The Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's. Online at victorricos.com, home of Oregon's favorite burrito. And might I add, a dynamite street taco. Absolutely delicious. Breakfast burrito as well. Chef's kiss. And they were out at the Fan Golf Tournament providing burritos for everybody. And it was wonderful. When we come back, Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor joins us to talk a little Ducks and Beavers and maybe even some hockey. That coming up next. Primetime here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
About a month away from college football, Big Ten Media Days next week. I think everyone else has already had theirs. We had the weird Pac-2 Media Day down in Vegas. Big 12 had theirs. ACC had theirs. SEC is just finishing up theirs. And we'll send swag out to the Big Ten Media Day, which is so weird that we will be covering Big Ten Media Day because, well, Oregon is now in the Big Ten. So to talk about that and all things Ducks and Beavers, you can find his stuff. The I-5 Quarter does a great job of covering everything in the state of Oregon. Tyson Alger, friend of the program. How you going, my friend?
I'm doing good, guys. You know, today's my first time doing the Eugene drive in quite some time, and I'm afraid to say, but it feels like football's coming up real quick. I think summer's over, boys.
Yeah, when does Oregon start camp?
So they have their team media day on the 29th, and I believe they're kicking off practice on the 31st. So we're about a week and a half out.
Were you down there chatting with Lanning today, I heard?
The corridor makes some moves every once in a while, and we're working on our season preview content, and we were able to catch Lanning right after a round of golf. He wasn't so happy about the round of golf, but everything else seems to be going pretty well for him right now.
I would say so. Every damn time I turn around, they got another five-star kid coming in, and now you know something's going good when Kirby Smart is like name-checking you and saying he wishes he had what you had.
Right, and I find that specifically so fascinating because if we remember 2 years ago, Lanning's first game as Oregon's head coach, they played Georgia. And they got the barn doors blown off of them. And the next, I think it was the post game or press conference the next week was when Kirby Smart said, "Hey, no offense to Dan, he just knows that we have better players than they do." And I think over the last 2 years, it's been like a complete goal of Lanning and the Oregon staff to make sure that's not the case the next time they meet.
Well, and I don't know if they're quite there yet, but. I mean, I've been doing this 20 years. I can't ever remember a season with these sorts of expectations. I mean, there's obviously been some very good Oregon teams. They played for two national titles. But, I mean, look at some of the national polls and the recruiting rankings and just the way people are talking about them. I mean, I don't know if they're necessarily the favorite in the Big Ten. Obviously, Ohio State's right there. But can you recall a season that has more expectations lumped on it than this one?
Never once. And so my first season covering the Ducks was 2014, and obviously that was a season with very large expectations as well. But I feel like so much of those expectations were because of one player. You know, they obviously had Marcus and he was going to win the Heisman, and, you know, Oregon at that time was still that team that was getting players that kind of fit a system. And maybe if everything went right, they'd have the ability to kind of contend nationally. But, you know, it's crazy kind of looking at like the roster composition now, and the fact that there's not just like one specific player people are citing as is why, you know, Oregon could be hanging with Ohio State or even, you know, a potential national title contender. It's just the overall depth. You know, I remember, you know, it was probably 6-7 years ago, if the Ducks signed a 5-star, like that'd be, or got a commit from a 5-star, there'd be about 10 profiles on the kid. Like everyone would know every single thing about him because they just don't come to Oregon that often. And now they're signing those types of players with kind of the same sort of fanfare as like when the Helfrich or Chip staff would sign 3- or 4-star guys.
Yeah, it is weird when you think about it. You know, this team is the deepest team Oregon's ever had. Again, biggest expectations. And dare I say, the only really household name is Dylan Gabriel, who just got here. I mean, outside of that, I mean, let's take the average Duck fan, not hardcore, not someone that's subscribing to the I-5 corridor, although you should, great stuff on there. To the average person, not a season to go that goes to 2 or 3 games, who is, I mean, outside of Dylan Gabriel, Tez Johnson? Like, this is not a star-laden team.
It's really hard to kind of be completely, like, up to date on the roster and like knowing like who to watch at the start of the year, because it's year in and year out. There's so much turnover on these rosters, and we see so much of them like dominating on the recruiting trail right now, getting these players that might come here appear 3 or 4 years later, but they're so good at kind of identifying the places they need to patch. And I think that's the biggest change of where Oregon's at right now, is they do have like an overall roster where the quality every year is going to be to a certain level, where if they do patch in the right spots, like they're going to be able to contend. And so, you know, Gabriel is a very well-known name, but outside of that, like they're going to have a new leading rusher this year. You know, they have some new key pieces on the offensive line. It feels like the entire defense has been retooled. And so I think my biggest concern isn't the talent level, and it's not the fact that if they identified the right players. It's just like, you know, maybe this is an old school thought process, but like I still want to believe that there's like a little bit of chemistry necessary for success in sports and just like how things go right. And I think it's very impressive the way that coaches are able to kind of pull off that team cohesion when it feels like guys are still just getting to know each other's names when kickoff comes around.
Yeah, it does scare me a little bit. I was going to ask you, and we're talking to Tyson Alger, I-5 Corridor, I was going to ask you if you're buying the hype, because it's I kind of keep going back and forth on it. And one of the things you brought up that kind of scares me is there's 6, possibly 7 starters that are all transfers into the program. Your entire secondary, basically, with the exception of Tyce Johnson, is brand new. Couple big guys up front. I know Birch came in last year, but you got the kid out of Houston and the kid out of Michigan State, Harmon and Caldwell. And that's the only thing that scares me, is kind of the hired gun thing to a certain extent. Is there some growing pains in there?
Yeah, despite like a lot of transition on the offensive side too, like I'm pretty darn convinced that they're going to be at about the same level as they were last year with Nix. I think Gabriel is at least a comparable talent. You know, it's nice when you're able to get rid of one quarterback who has like 15,000 career passing yards and replace him with a dude who's thrown for like 14,000.
Yeah.
On the defensive side, I really, really, really do like the front 7. Like the some of the guys that they brought in through the portal are just like massive pieces that I think are going to be able to like cause a lot of havoc. It's that secondary for me. And again, they brought in some talented pieces, but like they've replaced like essentially everybody in that secondary. And it's not like they have necessarily like a ton of depth there of like proven talent behind them. So like I think Oregon's first unit is going to be as good as anybody in the country, but I think that's where you kind of are still playing a little bit of catch up to like the Georgias and the Alabamas and the Ohio States, who have been recruiting at this level like for like a decade. But you know, ones on ones, I think Oregon's as good as anybody in the nation right now on paper.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, October 12th, I mean, I don't think there's much of an argument. When you look at Oregon's schedule, no offense to any of the teams, and we'll talk about the Beavs in a second, but, you know, Idaho, Boise State, Oregon State, UCLA, Michigan State. I mean, they're going to be 20-point favorites in every one of those games. I mean,
yeah,
they just are. So there's and Ohio State, it's kind of the same way when you look at their schedule. This could be 1-2 at Autzen Stadium, or maybe 1-3 come October 12th. We've never seen that in Eugene, ever.
It's got a very good chance of being the most anticipated game in Oregon history. It's got a chance of being one of the most anticipated games in the nation this year. You know, I've been around for some ones that felt pretty big in Eugene. Michigan State in 14 felt pretty big. That UCLA game 2 years ago felt pretty big when game day was here. Obviously some of those Washington ones, but you know, it's Ohio State, man. Like, how often does that happen where a team of that caliber comes to Eugene and Oregon's expected to be at that? And then you also have the history between those two teams, with Oregon beating them, what was that, 3 years ago, the national championship game also. Like, there's a lot riding on that game. And I think it's important for both programs, too, to kind of, you know, situate themselves early as like who's going to be like the Big Ten's top dog here. Because I mean, I don't, you know, Michigan's obviously a blue blood that just came off the national championship. But I think if everyone were to ask, like, pick your horses right now for the next 5 years in the Big Ten, I think it's Ohio State and Oregon.
Yeah. When you went down and talked to Lanny, and I may not ask you to give away, but what was kind of the general feel? Was it just kind of a season preview? Just kind of where the program's at? What were a couple of things, and anything kind of stick out to you?
Yeah, you know, the thing that I'm fascinated with Lanning is, like, at this point, I think it's fair to, like, take him for his word of, like, this dude has shown that he wants to be committed to Oregon. You know, he's going to be here. I kind of wanted to look at, like, what that ends up looking like, because, you know, Chip was here 4 years, Mario was here for 4 years, and it seemed like even in the last year of Cristobal's tenure, he was still saying, like, we're still getting going, like wait until, like, we, like, really get going. And then every time a coach says that, they end up leaving. So I really wanted to talk to Lanny, not only about, like, this year, but, like, you know, what's it going to look like in year 5 and year 6 and year 7? Because that's just something that Oregon fan hasn't really grown accustomed to with a coach of this caliber, at least. And, you know, obviously Lanning's not the type that's going to be like, here's my whole plan, like, let's lay it out for you, buddy. But, you know, it's a guy who is very committed to the program, who has – you know, he's not the right person to ask, like, did you ever see yourself sitting in this position? Because, like, the answer is always yes. Like, this guy has thought out 10 steps ahead. So, you know, I think a lot of the news that we've had the last couple weeks of these 5 stars that have been signing and everything, I think that's just kind of what he believes to be kind of the tip of the iceberg for what they really want to turn this program into.
Well, I'll tell you what, and to be fair, a lot of people, you know, whenever we talk about this, there's the anti-Duck people love to point out that he's never won anything, and that is fair. And I do think that there is there's mounting expectations, and, you know, just being an also-ran, or I didn't even know, is making the College Football Playoff and the expansion, is that enough?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's a tough rise in expectation, because I think if it was still like the 4-team playoff and Oregon were to make that playoff this year, like, I think that's a huge feather in the cap of a third year head coach. But yeah, Oregon should be one of the best 12 teams next year. That's part of the expectations, and that's a lot of pressure riding on a coach who doesn't really have a signature win yet. And I also do think it's a lot of pressure on Gabriel too. Like, this guy's a legit quarterback. He's a stud. Like, he's put up a lot of, like, good tape. But every good quarterback Oregon's had in, like, this position where, like, they're the Heisman frontrunner so far, like, they've always had, like, some sort of, like, extra thing either with, like, the team or the crowd. Like, in 14, Mariota, like, was already probably on his way to having a statue built for him, whether or not he won that Heisman or not. You know, Herbert's reign came where he was able to kind of, like, gently start as, like, the freshman and then eventually work his way up to that Rose Bowl winning season. Like, Gabriel has no wiggle room here. He has to be excellent from the start because that's what the expectations are. And he also has a pretty darn good backup quarterback behind him as well.
Yeah, it's weird. The hired gun thing is strange. I mean, Nix was too, but he was here for a couple years. And
yeah,
even so, he's not beloved kind of way the other guys were. One didn't win anything, but he, you know, he certainly had a huge impact on the program. But it'd be really weird to see a guy come in 1 year and it's a different era of football. You know, it's like, depending on what happens, like, does he go down as, like, if he wins a national title, it's like, is this the greatest quarterback in Oregon history when he was here for 4 months and never took a class? It's a strange world.
It's almost like, you know, like in the baseball Hall of Fame when they argue about, like, what hat is that player going to wear on their plaque. And, you know, in college football, you know, at this point, there's some quarterbacks, specifically Oregon's current one, that's put up pretty good stats at two different schools. This will be his third one coming up.
Yeah, it's strange. And then, you know, just down the road a bit, I know you cover, you know, everything in the state of Oregon, but I just can't help it. It's as weird as it is for Oregon to be in the Big Ten and Big Ten media days and all that, and Ohio State and Michigan, I still think it's stranger to me with the Oregon State thing. You know, the weird little Pac-12 or Pac-2 media day, and, you know, the independent, you know, schedule, and it's just, it's absolutely bizarre. Like, just your kind of general thoughts on this year for Oregon State and maybe what the future holds.
Man, it's so hard to place, like, expectations on what this year should be for them. You know, it just still seems, I know it's been the topic that we've talked about ad nauseum for, like, the last year, but, like, there's still part of me as camp is starting up and, you know, these media days are coming that, like, it's just like, man, like, this really happened. Like, last year we were chronicling just, like, what such a great story it was that, like, Jonathan was able to turn around that program. Because they were so bad, and what was that, 17, 18 before he took over? And so it's like, I don't know what, like, a start over and like what success looks like for them. Like, I think, you know, the goal for the university is kind of still to remain in the around the periphery of the conversation. Like, I actually kind of liked that the Pac-2 or whatever you want to call it now did their little, you know, let's crash Vegas after the Big 12 won and try to catch some of that media. But, you know, when the Ducks and Beavers play in week three, week five.
Well, it's the third game for Oregon State.
Sorry, week three. Like, I think Oregon's going to beat them by 50, man. And like I don't say that as like somebody who wants to see that or a Ducks homer. It's just the realities of modern college football. And I think, you know, even if it's like an underdog story or a good story, like, there's going to be some very, very tough moments in Corvallis this year. And I just kind of feel bad about it.
Yeah, I'm scared because they start off with Idaho State, and that should be a win. And then they're on the road at San Diego State. And what honestly scares me is if they lose to San Diego State, and say it's a tough game, it's not like that's an easy place to go. If you drop that to San Diego State and then you're home at Reser, and I'm with you. I think that game gets out of hand. It's just the talent gap is just gargantuan. Just is.
Well,
what does that do to that fan base if that happens for the rest of the year? That's already been kicked in the teeth so much.
Yeah, and you know, in that instance too, you don't even have like the normal like end of the season. Granted, we just said we expect the Ducks to win that game pretty large, but like it's you don't have the normal cadence of the season either. Like, it's, you know, I imagine there'll be a couple high moments, and you know, I do like the coaching staff that they were able to assemble down there, but like I think even they are still kind of looking at this and being like, you know, like where do we lie in this? Like, you know, is, you just mentioned like a San Diego State, like, is Oregon State still expected to be better than a San Diego State? Because like in their current, you know, sitting, like, there's not really any reason to be.
Yeah. I just feel for that fan base. And I just don't want we get to the back half of that season and go back to the days where no one went. Cause it felt like those days had ended. And I'm scared of what a beatdown that early in the season could do for, no offense, but when you're getting games that aren't exactly marquee games. And,
right.
And that's what I don't want to see happen. I don't want to see, oh, I don't know. Let's take, for example, like, you know, UNLV on October 19th. I don't want to see 11,000 people in the stadium.
No. Especially, too, when, you know, I remember covering the Utah game last year. I think it was like a Friday night. It was on national TV. It was a completely sold out stadium. They're so proud of that stadium renovation, and I think they did a great job with it too. And I don't think it'll look good if it's half full.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting year. It's going to be a strange season on so many different fronts, both in Eugene and Corvallis. And if you want to keep following the action, I highly recommend giving them a little poke there. You can find him on Twitter or X, his stuff, the i5quarter.com, Tyson Alger. He does a great job. And we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Next time, I want to talk about some pond hockey. You out there mixing it up?
Dude, We had a 11 p.m. game last night. I'm struggling. I'm getting too old for this stuff, man. It was a groggy drive down to Eugene this morning.
All right, before I let you go, I got who's your team?
So for the longest time, it was the Canucks.
Okay.
Like I grew up in Alaska, and that was kind of like the closest regional thing. I always said that I needed to have, like, I would have killed to have a team in Seattle because that's where all my allegiances were. So now I'm kind of torn between, you know, what I liked as a kid versus, you know, I can take the train up there and pop into a game now. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Stick with the Canucks. I've been taking my kids there for like the last like 12 years going to Canucks games. My kids are Canucks fans. Don't go cracking. It's too easy. Stick with the Canucks.
Yeah, you know, and then it's a Canadian team too, so that way, like, I'll feel a little bit of pride in 40 years when a Canadian team finally wins the cup again. So
there you go. Stick with our Canucks. We'll go up and see a game sometime.
Absolutely, man.
Take it easy. All right, that's Tyson Alger. I-5 quarter went way long, but good stuff there. When we come back, we are way, way over. How about this? When we come back, let's get back on the clock. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. Way over, but it's good stuff there with Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor, and it is going to be a really strange year for Oregon and Oregon State, and I mean it. I know Beaver fan gets all, you know, pissy and thinks that, you know, we're taking some sort of pleasure in any of this. I am not. I like Oregon State. I root for Oregon State.
I think this whole show does.
I said many a time, when I was being recruited, it was hard for me anywhere in the Pac-10 at the time because my brother played at Washington State. But I just said, given the choice, like if I was being recruited years later, I would have been more of an Oregon State kid. I would have gone and played for Mike Riley as opposed to playing for Bilotti at Oregon. Mm-hmm. I'm not the most flashiest guy in the world. You know, nowadays, obviously, it's a different story. Oregon's become something different, but I root for Oregon State. I guess I identify more with Oregon State than I do with Oregon. But I'm really concerned that game early on at Reser week three might be a season defining game that they never recover from.
Boy, when Tyson kind of said, and he didn't say matter of factly, because obviously he's speculating, but that's got to be a sobering soundbite when he goes, I think they could lose by 50. And that's not out of the question at all, but I don't think most people have thought it's that bad yet.
Well, I mean, remember that 2 years ago, Oregon was absolutely housing them, and then they fell apart in the second half. Mm-hmm. And then last year, they beat them down. Mm-hmm. Good. What was the final score?
I'll look that up. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I mean, it was an ass-kicking, right? I mean, it was not a good competitive game. And of course, that was a little weird because, you know, it had come out that Jonathan Smith was leaving Oregon State. And so, you know, you were up against
that. That's right. It was he was already the one foot out the door. And
yeah. What was the final score on that?
The final score was 31-7.
Okay. So.
And I think they called the dogs off. I'm not sure they scored in the fourth.
So, and Oregon is going to be significantly better than they were. And we just know Oregon State, this is going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle.
Oregon's personnel has gotten markedly better, and Oregon State's has gotten exponentially worse.
They're going to get blown out at Reser. And that's why I said that San Diego State game, to me, is just, it's enormous. In that you can't lose. You're going to beat Idaho, you have to beat San Diego State. Because if you don't, if you come into that one-on-one and already the fans are like, oh my God, and they don't look good against San Diego State, and they know what's coming. They know what's coming. In Oregon. So say what you will, and I get it. I totally understand that people are like, Oregon hasn't won anything, and I agree. I'm the first one to say that. Dan Lanning has won nothing at Oregon. His best win is probably Utah. You can't give him, you know, what, Liberty in the Fiesta Bowl? Who cares? But the team that they're assembling, I'm telling you, it's not a paper tiger.
Yeah.
This is a really, really good physical football team that is going to steamroll a lot of people. And from a talent standpoint, it's not going to be competitive.
No.
It's just not. And that's what I'm worried about, is that for the rest of the year, does that just set the tone? Because I've heard from so many Beaver fans that are like, dude, I give up. I'm tired of this. I'm not doing this crap. Like, this is not our fault, and I'm just done.
It's going to be rough to wear this one this early in the year, I think.
Yes, I wish this game was later in the year. And it wasn't at the beginning, because I don't want this to mar what hopefully is a good season for Oregon State, but could be a tough season. It could be tough. Oh, and on a little side note, too, that, you know, they're doing all the Generation O uniforms down in New Oregon.
Oh, if you wait 1 second, our Mods PDX Ducks report has that.
I'll just say this. I thought the ones they put out, the DeAnthony Thomas ones, they were fine, whatever. The ones that they just did, the Joey, and we'll talk to Joey about lying.
Yeah.
Joey lied to us.
Pants on fire.
We asked Joey if he had been contacted about the Generation
Point
O uniforms.
Blank.
Lied.
Yeah, to
lied.
Our faces.
So disappointing. Well. They released the Joey Harrington. I mean, it's more of the gangrene, but with a touch of Joey.
He was the spokesperson face of it, kind of.
Best thing that Oregon's done in years.
It's,
dude, those things
yeah.
are freaking fantastic. Now you have to actually go out and win. And that Ohio State, you're not judged by what you do against Oregon State. You're not going to be judged about what you do against Purdue. You will be judged off of two games this year, being judged off Ohio State, and then I think it's 2 or 3 weeks later, Michigan. Ohio State at home, Michigan. And that's going to be the biggest game in Autzen Stadium history. And it's as crappy as the disillusion of the Pac-12, games like this in the Big Ten, it's going to be pretty kick-ass come October when we get that game down in Autzen Stadium. All right, we come back. We put a bow with some really unfortunate old friends talking about someone that has passed away. A clip that I found really, really distasteful today. But this is the thing that professional athletes have to deal with from time to time. That when we come back, and then into Club 1080 right here on The Fan. Vancouver text line. And this is the sort of crap that I absolutely hate. We talked earlier in the show about we having a truth problem in sports media.
And by the way, can I just jump in real quick? I need to correct myself for something I said in our branded report. Yeah. I got my names switched up. So DJ Pickett is not committing to the Ducks.
He was the athlete that committed to LSU.
He decommitted from the Ducks or was considering them heavily and went to LSU. The guy they think that Nemec thinks they're going to get is Trey McNutt, who's an Ohio kid and who has for a long time been thought to be an Ohio State guy. Mm. He has a pending announcement coming, and it's believed he will be the next
Duck. Yeah, Nemec did his, he does his little prediction. And he says that the crystal ball is saying that the old Quackers there maybe getting another 5-star kid. But this is the part that drives me crazy. We were talking earlier about we have a truth problem, that it's like if you speak the truth, people get angry. And so like a lot of, and the media sometimes just blows these ridiculous notions because they're trying to push a narrative. Vancouver 4 text line, I don't hate Oregon State, then proceeds to S on Oregon State. That is not S-ing on Oregon State.
It's calling a spade a spade.
It's called being truthful. If you don't think that point spread at Reser Stadium in week 3, that spread's going to be 28 points.
Yes, it will.
And if
maybe
they lose
30.
To San Diego State, which I think is a coin flip game, I think the Beavs can win that game. Maybe the Beavs should win that game, but it's on the road. It's early. You got a lot of new faces. That's not a gimme. If they lose to San Diego State, dude, that point spread's going to be 35. I mean, the chances are Oregon is going to absolutely beat down Oregon State. I don't know how the rest of Oregon State season goes. I'm talking about from a fan engagement standpoint. I don't know what Oregon State is going to look like, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be a tough year, but I think they're not going to be horrid. But you know what they're not going to do? They're not going to beat the number 2 or 3 team in the country. And if you think that's crapping on Oregon State, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have a truth problem. If someone gives a truthful opinion, that's not hating on it.
And it's not going out of the way to say, here's all the ways that you're going to suck, and here's all the things you should brace for. It's just saying, like...
That's the Deion Sanders effect. That's the, I heard that talk, no, dude, we were being truthful about you. And it turned out, by the way, we were all right. You were wrong.
I ran through that bull junk you wrote.
Just, it drives me crazy. Absolutely drives me crazy that if you're not kissing someone's ass, that you're against them. But players and coaches do it all the time. Oh, you didn't believe in us. No, everyone thought you were going to get killed. And by the way, for that guy, if Oregon State beats Oregon in Reser the third week of the season, guess who'll be the first guy to be like, dude, that was freaking amazing. That was unbelievable. Maybe the best win in Oregon State regular season history. And I'll feel great for him. But go ahead and place your money. Put your bet down right now on Oregon State. Because
I'll lay the 4 touchdowns right now.
Exactly. Whatever points you want, I'll give you 28 points right now. Go ahead. If that's the spread you're telling me right now, 28 points, I'll go ahead and lay the 28
points. So will I.
I saw this today, and it was really disappointing. And I just, it kind of got me, thinking about things that professional athletes have to deal with. And it's kind of one of those random things, but Kobe Bryant's been gone for a while now. And I thought this was such a scumbaggery sort of thing. Apparently, this is one, I don't know why I just came across my Twitter feed today. I think it was Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, was tweeting about this. I guess one of Kobe Bryant's friends, childhood friends, was going on some sort of podcast and it was making the rounds today. And he was talking crap on Kobe Bryant for not giving his friends apparently money. This is, listen to this and see if anyone else is bothered as much by this as I was.
Man, I don't want no handouts. I don't want no money. I don't want shit. This is what I need you to do. I'm out here struggling. I got two kids. I got a family, man. All I want to do is go back with you. You get me out there, LA somewhere, man. Put me with somebody where I can make my own money. You just like get me in and I'm working for somebody or I'm doing something to be or business, anything to benefit myself. So, and I don't want nothing free. I don't want to work. I don't want to do nothing but work for it. He Kobe Bryant. He could put me with anybody. But or he could do it himself, put me as a security on a security team, anything. We were super tight. There's no way he shouldn't do this for me. So I said that to him. He said, oh, yeah, that'll be no problem. No problem. I'm like, yo, I need a number. I don't got no number on you. How am I get back to you? He gives me a phone number. I'm happy as hell. I'm happy now. I'm like, bet. I'm betting my man wouldn't. That's my man. I'm back with my guy. I'm about to get out of here. I'm amped up. He leave. I go back to the house. The next day I call. It's an assistant dude's phone number. It's not even him. Not getting him on the phone. I can't never get to me. I'm still doing my thing to survive, but that's in the back of my mind. Like, man, my man might come and get me. It's like a dream type of thing. Just in the back of my head because he's one of my best friends, period. Like, but nah, that's not what happened. I went to his cousin. His cousin came to me. He said, Kev, I'm going to tell you something about this guy. Dude is a certified piece of shit. The man never did nothing for nobody in his family. Like he got a $500 million empire. His sisters was working regular jobs. You see his mom and them got to fucking sell memorabilia and shit. But even when he was home, remember that memorabilia shit?
I missed the back end of that.
Whoops.
That didn't save properly.
Whoops.
You get the idea, I guess. It's been dumped over and over again, making the airwaves.
That. So that was a clip that we were supposed to edit the bleeps, but apparently the...
Got the first one and didn't catch the others. Okay.
What's God saved?
Panic in the streets.
The look on Buck's face as he just kept... Cursing.
I thought I missed one and then it just kept happening. Golly. Jeez.
Whoops.
We're still in dump, I think.
Whoops. Whoa, whoops. Whoopsie doo. Well, so just the wrong
I had started it. Started editing it, and my progress didn't save over. All right.
Well, we'll have some.
That was brilliant. Brilliant.
So, listening to my car on AM radio. Caught it all.
That's not what...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Way, way over. But it's good stuff there with Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. And it is going to be a really strange year for Oregon and Oregon State. And I mean it. I know Beaver fan gets all, you know, pissy and thinks that, you know, we're taking some sort of pleasure in any of this. I am not. I like Oregon State. I root for Oregon State.
I think this whole show does.
I said many a time, when I was being recruited, it was hard for me anywhere in the Pac 10 at the time, because my brother played at Washington State. But I just said, given the choice, like if I was being recruited years later, I would have been more of an Oregon State kid. I would have gone and played for Mike Riley, sure, as opposed to playing for Bilotti at Oregon. Mm-hmm. I'm not the most flashiest guy in the world. You know, nowadays, obviously it's a different story. Oregon's become something different, but I root for Oregon State. I identify more with Oregon State than I do with Oregon. But I'm really concerned that game early on at Reser, week three, might be a season defining game that they never recover from.
Boy, when Tyson kind of said, and he didn't say matter of fact, because obviously he's speculating, but that's got to be a sobering soundbite when he goes, I think they could lose by 50. And that's not out of the question people have thought it's that bad yet.
Well, I mean, remember that 2 years ago, Oregon was absolutely housing them, and then they fell apart in the second half. Mm-hmm. And then last year, they beat them down. Mm-hmm. Good. What was the final score?
I'll look that up. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I mean, it was an ass kicking, right? I mean, it was not a good competitive game. And of course that was a little weird because, you know, it had come out that Jonathan Smith was leaving Oregon State, and so, you know, you were up against
that's it right. It was the all yeah, he was already the one foot out the door. And
yeah. What was the final score on that?
The final score was 31-7.
Okay. So
and I think they called the dogs off. I'm not sure they scored in the fourth.
So and Oregon is going to be significantly better than they were, and we just know Oregon State, this is going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle.
Oregon's personnel has gotten markedly better, and Oregon State's has gotten exponentially worse.
They're going to get blown out at Reser. And that's why I said that San Diego State game to me is just, it's enormous. In that you can't lose. You're going to beat Idaho, you have to beat San Diego State. Because if you don't, if you come into that 1-1 and already the fans are like, oh my God, and they don't look good against San Diego State, and they know what's coming. They know what's coming. In Oregon. So say what you will, and I get it. I totally understand that people are like, Oregon hasn't won anything, and I agree. I'm the first one to say that. Dan Lanning has won nothing at Oregon. His best win is probably Utah. You can't give him, you know, what, Liberty in the Fiesta Bowl? Who cares? But the team that they're assembling, I'm telling you, it's not a paper tiger.
Yeah.
This is a really, really good physical football team that is going to steamroll a lot of people. And from a talent standpoint, it's not going to be competitive.
No.
It's just not. And that's what I'm worried about, is that for the rest of the year, does that just set the tone? Because I've heard from so many Beaver fans that are like, dude, I give up. I'm tired of this. I'm not doing this crap. Like, this is not our fault, and I'm just done.
It's going to be rough to wear this one this early in the year, I think.
And yes, I wish this game was later in the year, and it wasn't at the beginning, because I don't want this to mar what hopefully is a good season for Oregon State, but could be a tough season. It could be tough. Oh, and on a little side note too, that, you know, they're doing all the Generation O uniforms down in New Oregon.
Oh, if you wait 1 second, our Mods PDX Ducks report has that.
I'll just say this. I thought the ones they put out, the DeAnthony Thomas ones, they were fine. Mm-hmm. Whatever. The ones that they just did, the Joey, and we'll talk to Joey about lying.
Yeah.
Joey lied to us.
Pants on fire.
We asked Joey if he had been contacted about the Generation
Point
O uniforms.
Blank.
Lied.
Yeah. To
lied.
Our faces.
So disappointing. Well. They released the Joey Harrington. I mean, it's more of the gangrene, but with a touch of Joey.
He was the spokesperson face of it, kind of.
Best thing that Oregon's done in years.
It's,
dude, those things
yeah.
are freaking fantastic. Now you have to actually go out and win. And that Ohio State, you're not judged by what you do against Oregon State. You're not going to be judged about what you do against Purdue. You will be judged off of two games this year, being judged off Ohio State, and then I think it's 2 or 3 weeks later, Michigan. Ohio State at home, Michigan. And that's going to be the biggest game in Autzen Stadium history. And it's as crappy as the disillusion of the Pac-12, games like this in the Big Ten, it's going to be pretty kick-ass come October when we get that game down in Autzen Stadium. All right, we come back. We put a bow with some really unfortunate old friends talking about someone that has passed away. A clip that I found really, really distasteful today. But this is the thing that professional athletes have to deal with from time to time. That when we come back, and then into Club 1080 right here on The Fan. Vancouver Ford text line. And this is the sort of crap that I absolutely hate. We talked earlier in the show about we having a truth problem in sports media.
And by the way, can I just jump in real quick? I need to correct myself for something I said in our branded report. Yeah. I got my names switched up. So DJ Pickett is not committing to the Ducks.
He was the athlete that committed to LSU.
He decommitted from the Ducks or was considering them heavily and went to LSU. The guy they think that Nemec thinks they're going to get is Trey McNutt, who's an Ohio kid and who has for a long time been thought to be an Ohio State guy. Mm. He has a pending announcement coming, and it's believed he will be the next
Duck. Yeah, Nemec did his, he does his little prediction.
Yep.
And he says that the crystal ball is saying that the old Quackers there maybe getting another 5-star kid. But this is the part that drives me crazy. We were talking earlier about we have a truth problem, that it's like if you speak the truth, people get angry. And so like a lot of, and the media sometimes just blows these ridiculous notions because they're trying to push a narrative. Vancouver Ford text line, I don't hate Oregon State, then proceeds to S on Oregon State. That is not S-ing on Oregon State.
It's calling a spade a spade.
It's called being truthful. If you don't think that point spread at Reser Stadium in week 3, that spread's going to be 28 points.
Yes, it will.
And if
maybe
they lose
30.
To San Diego State, which I think is a coin flip game, I think the Beavs can win that game. Maybe the Beavs should win that game, but it's on the road. It's early. You got a lot of new faces. That's not a gimme. If they lose to San Diego State, dude, that point spread's going to be 35. I mean, the chances are Oregon is going to absolutely beat down Oregon State. I don't know how the rest of Oregon State's season goes. I'm talking about from a fan engagement standpoint. I don't know what Oregon State is going to look like, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be a tough year, but I think they're not going to be horrid. But you know what they're not going to do? They're not going to beat the number 2 or 3 team in the country. And if you think that's crapping on Oregon State, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have a truth problem. If someone gives a truthful opinion, that's not hating on it.
And it's not going out of the way to say, like, here's all the ways that you're going to suck, and here's all the things you should brace for. It's just saying, like...
That's the Deion Sanders effect. That's the...
Yeah.
I heard that talk, you know. Mm-hmm. No, dude, we were being truthful about you. And it turned out, by the way, we were all right. You were wrong.
I ran through that bull junk you wrote.
Just, it drives me crazy. Absolutely drives me crazy that if you're not kissing someone's ass, that you're against them. But players and coaches do it all the time. Oh, you didn't believe in us. No, everyone thought you were going to get killed. And by the way, for that guy, if Oregon State beats Oregon in Reser the third week of the season, guess who'll be the first guy to be like, dude, that was freaking amazing. That was unbelievable. Maybe the best win in Oregon State regular season history. And I'll feel great for him. But go ahead and place your money. Put your bet down right now on Oregon State. Because
I'll lay the 4 touchdowns right now.
Exactly. Whatever points you want, I'll give you 28 points right now. Go ahead. If that's the spread you're telling me right now, 28 points, I'll go ahead and lay the 28
points. So will I.
I saw this today and it was really disappointing. And I just, it kind of got me, thinking about things that professional athletes have to deal with. And it's kind of one of those random things, but Kobe Bryant's been gone for a while now. And I thought this was such a scumbaggery sort of thing. Apparently this is one, I don't know why I just came across my Twitter feed today. I think it was Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, was tweeting about this. I guess one of Kobe Bryant's friends, childhood friends, was going on some sort of podcast and it was making the rounds today. And he was talking crap on Kobe Bryant for not giving his friends apparently money. This is, listen to this and see if anyone else is bothered as much by this as I was.
Man, I don't want no handouts. I don't want no money. I don't want shit. This is what I need you to do. I'm out here struggling. I got two kids. I got a family, man. All I want to do is go back with you. You get me out there, LA somewhere, man. Put me with somebody where I can make my own money. You just like get me in and I'm working for somebody or I'm doing something to or business, anything to benefit myself. So, and I don't want nothing free. I don't want to work. I don't want to do nothing but work for it. He Kobe Bryant. He could put me with anybody. But or he could do it himself. Put me as a security on a security team, anything. We were super tight. There's no way he shouldn't do this for me. So I said that to him. He said, oh, yeah, that'll be no problem. No problem. I'm like, yo, I need a number. I don't got no number on you. How am I get back to you? He gives me a phone number. I'm happy as hell. I'm happy now. I'm like, bet. I'm betting my man wasn't much my man. I'm back with my guy. I'm about to get out of here. I'm amped up. He leave. I go back to the house. The next day I call. It's an assistant dude's phone number. It's not even him. Not getting him on the phone. I can't never get to me. I'm still doing my thing to survive, but that's in the back of my mind. Like, man, my man might come and get me. It's like a dream type of thing. Just in the back of my head because he's one of my best friends, period. Like, but nah, that's not what happened. I went to his cousin. His cousin came to me. He said, Kev, I'm going to tell you something about this guy. Dude is a certified piece of shit. The man never did nothing for nobody in his family. He got a $500 million empire. His sisters was working regular jobs. You see, his mom and them got to fucking sell memorabilia and shit. But even when he was home, remember that memorabilia shit?
I missed the back end of that.
Whoops.
That didn't save properly.
Whoops. Whoops.
You get the idea, I guess.
You get the idea.
Been dumped over and over again, so it's not not making the airwaves.
That was a clip that we were supposed to edit the bleeps, but apparently the...
got the first one and didn't catch the others. Okay.
What's God saved?
Panic in the streets.
The look on Buck's face as he just kept cursing.
I thought I missed one, and then it just kept happening. Golly. Jeez.
Whoops.
We're still in dump, I think.
Whoops. Whoa, whoops. Whoopsie-doo. Well, so just the wrong,
I had started it. Started editing it, and my progress didn't save over. All right.
Yeah, we'll have some.
That was brilliant. Brilliant.
Nope, listening to my car on AM radio. Caught it all.
That's not what the board's saying. Well.
Woo! Well, I was going to point out that the scumbaggery of that dude who years after Kobe Bryant dies goes on and makes national news by trashing his former childhood friend after saying, I don't want anything from you, but I want everything from you. And you deserve, I deserve everything, including you just giving me a job with someone where I can make money, even though I didn't earn it. That was the whole point that I was trying to make there is that's the sort of things that athletes have to deal with when they make it, is the entitlement and the handouts. And it led to that.
I'm sweating. I've broken a sweat.
Look, mistakes happen. Things happen. The look. Where's the, I don't know if I'm gonna be putting this headset on.
Where is Brenneman?
Where is my man Brenneman when we need him?
Oh, he's somewhere around here.
My eyes are very important.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run. I don't know if I'm gonna be putting on this headset again.
Maybe
well,
apropos.
It was fantastic. Yeah, stuff happens. Stuff happens.
At least I have the first bleep to prove that I started bleeping.
We started. We just
it didn't all take.
It didn't take. You know, things happen. You know, things happen to the best of us.
And so. We'll have to have a conversation with engineers. It does not appear the dump button is working because I was mashing that thing.
mash.
Again! It's done blinking. No, again!
Club 1080 coming up next. Vancouver Ford text line. And this is the sort of crap that I absolutely hate. We talked earlier in the show about we having a truth problem in sports media.
And by the way, can I just jump in real quick? I need to correct myself for something I said in our branded report. Yeah. I got my names switched up. So DJ Pickett is not committing to the Ducks.
He was the athlete that committed to LSU.
He decommitted from the Ducks or was considering them heavily and went to LSU. The guy they think that Nemec thinks they're going to get is Trey McNutt, who's an Ohio kid and who has for a long time been thought to be an Ohio State guy. Mm. He has a pending announcement coming, and it's believed he will be the next
Duck. Yeah, Nemec did his, he does his little prediction.
Yep.
And he says that the crystal ball is saying that the old Quackers there maybe getting another five-star kid. But this is the part that drives me crazy. We were talking earlier about we have a truth problem, that it's like if you speak the truth, people get angry. And so like and the media sometimes just blows these ridiculous notions because they're trying to push a narrative. Vancouver Ford text line, I don't hate Oregon State, then proceeds to S on Oregon State. That is not S-ing on Oregon State.
It's calling a spade a spade.
It's called being truthful. If you don't think that point spread at Reser Stadium in week 3, that spread's going to be 28 points.
Yes, it will.
And if
maybe
they lose
30.
To San Diego State, which I think is a coin flip game, I think the Beavs can win that game. Maybe the Beavs should win that game, but it's on the road. It's early. You got a lot of new faces. That's not a gimme. If they lose to San Diego State, dude, that point spread's going to be 35. I mean, the chances are Oregon is going to absolutely beat down Oregon State. I don't know how the rest of Oregon State season goes. I'm talking about from a fan engagement standpoint. I don't know what Oregon State is going to look like, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be a tough year, but I think they're not going to be horrid. But you know what they're not going to do? They're not going to beat the number 2 or 3 team in the country. And if you think that's crapping on Oregon State, that's what I'm saying. Like, we have a truth problem. If someone gives a truthful opinion, that's not hating on it.
And it's not going out of the way to say, here's all the ways that you're going to suck, and here's all the things you should brace for. It's just saying, like...
That's the Deion Sanders effect. That's the... Yeah. I heard that talk, No, dude, we were being truthful about you. And it turned out, by the way, we were all right. You were wrong.
I ran through that bull junk you wrote.
Just, it drives me crazy. Absolutely drives me crazy that if you're not kissing someone's ass, that you're against them. But players and coaches do it all the time. Oh, you didn't believe in us. No, everyone thought you were going to get killed. And by the way, for that guy, if Oregon State beats Oregon in Reser the third week of the season, guess who'll be the first guy to be like, dude, that was freaking amazing. That was unbelievable. Maybe the best win in Oregon State regular season history. And I'll feel great for him. But go ahead and place your money. Put your bet down right now on Oregon State. Because
I'll lay the 4 touchdowns right now.
Exactly. Whatever points you want, I'll give you 28 points right now. Go ahead. If that's the spread you're telling me right now, 28 points, I'll go ahead and lay the 28
points. So will I.
I saw this today, and it was really disappointing. And I just, it kind of got me, thinking about things that professional athletes have to deal with. And it's kind of one of those random things, but Kobe Bryant's been gone for a while now. And I thought this was such a scumbaggery sort of thing. Apparently this is one, I don't know why I just came across my Twitter feed today. I think it was Chad Johnson was tweeting about this. I guess one of Kobe Bryant's friends, childhood friends, was going on some sort of podcast and it was making the rounds today. And he was talking crap on Kobe Bryant for not giving his friends apparently money. This is, listen to this and see if anyone else is bothered as much by this as I was.
Man, I don't want no handouts. I don't want no money. I don't want shit. This is what I need you to do. I'm out here struggling. I got two kids. I got a family, man. All I want to do is go back with you. You get me out there, L.A. somewhere, man. Put me with somebody where I can make my own money. You just, like, get me in, and I'm working for somebody, or I'm doing something to be, or business, anything to benefit myself. So, and I don't want nothing free. I don't want to work. I don't want to do nothing but work for it. He Kobe Bryant. He could put me with anybody. But or he could do it himself, put me as a security on a security team, anything. We were super tight. There's no way he shouldn't do this for me. So I said that to him. He said, oh, yeah, that'll be no problem, no problem. I'm like, yo, I need a number. I don't got no number on you. How am I get back to you? He gives me a phone number. I'm happy as hell. I'm happy now. I'm like, bet. I'm betting my man wasn't much my man. I'm back with my guy. I'm about to get out of here. I'm amped up. He leave. I go back to the house. The next day I call. It's an assistant dude's phone number. It's not even him. Not getting him on the phone. I can't never get to me. I'm still doing my thing to survive, but that's in the back of my mind. Like, man, my man might come and get me. It's like a dream type of thing. Just in the back of my head because he's one of my best friends, period. Like, but nah, that's not what happened. I went to his cousin. His cousin came to me. He said, Kev, I'm going to tell you something about this guy. Dude is a certified piece of shit. The man never did nothing for nobody in his family. Like he got a $500 million empire. His sisters was working regular jobs. You see his mom and them got to fucking sell memorabilia and shit. But even when he was home, remember that memorabilia shit?
I missed the back end of that.
Whoops.
That didn't save properly.
Whoops.
You get the idea, I guess.
You get the idea.
Been dumped over and over again, so it's not making the airwaves.
That. So that was a clip that we were supposed to edit the bleeps, but apparently the...
Got the first one and didn't catch the others. Okay.
What's God saved?
Panic in the streets.
The look on Buck's face as he just kept... Cursing.
I thought I missed one, and then it just kept happening. Golly. Jeez.
Whoops.
We're still in dump, I think.
Whoops. Whoa, whoops. Whoopsie-doo. Well, so just the wrong
I had started editing it, and my progress didn't save over. All right.
Yeah, we'll have some.
That was brilliant. Brilliant.
So, listen to my car on AM radio. Caught it all.
That's not what the board's saying. Well.
Woo! Well, I was going to point out that the scumbaggery of that dude who, years after Kobe Bryant dies, goes on and makes national news by trashing his former childhood friend after saying, I don't want anything from you, but I want everything from you. And you deserve, I deserve everything, including you just giving me a job with someone where I can make money, even though I didn't earn it. That was the whole point that I was trying to make there, is that's the sort of things that athletes have to deal with when they make it, is the entitlement and the handouts. And it led to that.
I'm sweating. I've broken a sweat.
Look, mistakes happen. Things happen. Look. Where's the, I don't know if I'm going to be putting this headset on.
Where is Brenneman?
Where is my man Brenneman when we need him?
Oh, he's somewhere around here.
My eyes are very important.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Maybe
well, it was fantastic. Yeah, stuff happens. Stuff happens.
At least I have the first bleep to prove that I started bleeping.
We started. We just
didn't all take.
It didn't take. You know, things happen. You know, things happen to the best of us.
And we'll have to have a conversation with engineers. It does not appear the dump button is working because I was mashing that thing.
mash.
Again! It's done blinking. No, again!
Club 1080 coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.